So today we're going to talk a little bit about Agile. Does anybody use Agile today? You do? A little? A lot? A whole bunch? Okay. You use it in EPM? You track your Agile projects in EPM? No? Anyone? Not so much? No? Why not? Any ideas? So the traditional waterfall projects go in project, but the Agile ones don't? Why is it? Any ideas? No? Is everybody tired from lunch? Haven't had your first drink of the day? What is it? Come on. Okay. So we're going to be talking about a couple things today. We're going to talk a little bit about Agile, but this is not a session on Agile methodologies and processes. We're going to talk about PPM and Agile, how they can coexist, how they can work together, and then we're actually going to walk you through a case study of an organization that actually we worked with to deploy PPM in an Agile methodology. So that's what we're going through today. And I'm Rob. I'll be your entertainment for the next hour and 15 minutes or so. I'm coming off of a flu bug cold or something like that, so if I start coughing up blood or something like that, please excuse me. Got that joke. That's good. So again, we'll talk about a couple different approaches to using to tracking an agile project, a set of agile projects using PPM, some of the differentiators between using Project Server and Agile tools together and separately. This is all based on case studies with clients we have. We'll give you a demonstration of a certain Agile environment working with Project Server, and then give you the case study, as I mentioned, about how PPM was deployed using Agile. Again, our objectives today are provide you with insight and ideas. There is no marketing in this session at all, so you won't see any products, any tools. The tools you'll see are all Microsoft's tools out-of-the-box configured, so there's no add-on products here. And what we're also going to do is we're going to demonstrate what we call a connected Agile solution. You'll know a little more about that as we work through our presentation today. So again, this is not about Agile methods or frameworks or tools. We'll put a little bit up front just to set the expectations of what Agile is. But it is a session on ways you can more effectively use Project Server, PPM, to support Agile tracking and management of your projects. That's really what this is all about. So if you were looking for lessons on Scrum or Agile today, you're probably in the wrong session. But hopefully you'll get something out of today. So from an Agile methodology, I mentioned I'm not going to get really deep into this. Obviously, the Agile Manifesto is all about individuals and interactions. It's about getting work done. It's about building working software. And it's about collaboration between people working on Agile teams. So the ability to rapidly respond to change and get feedback, it's really a software development methodology when you don't understand what your requirements actually are to build something that's useful for the business, that provides some kind of business value. That's really what Agile is all about. And as we start to look at that, we start to think through what the Agile principles are. There's a whole bunch of them up on the screen. I'm not going to go through them all. But it's about really satisfying your customer with software that's built to meet their needs. And a lot of times, they don't know what their needs are. So you have to help define those on an ongoing basis. But requirements are always changing in an Agile environment. In fact, a lot of times, they're not even documented. You don't even know what they are, and you never will document them. You're building software to meet the requirements that the business is providing you and getting feedback from them in the process. And this is really when business people and developers are working together in cycles to deliver on good software, solid software, and having effective ways to communicate and collaborate on information. So Agile projects are like any other projects. They're just different in terms of the actual details behind them. So we talk about how things work in an Agile world. The real key to success is all about prioritizing the functionality that's going to be important to the end users, that's going to give them the solid ROI that they're looking for. There's always the product owner, and that's the person that's going to be actually you're delivering to. And they're going to be prioritizing the requirements and giving you feedback. You're putting them up on a Scrum board, and you're getting feedback on those, and you're building towards those on an ongoing basis. The development teams actually take subsets of this information, and they develop based on that in a series of sprints, where they're actually developing different components of the code in short intervals that go 2 weeks or less. The Scrum meetings are held up. They're stand-up meetings for 15 minutes that are every day or every week, the same place every day. And then the team is demonstrating what they've built to date. So it's all about getting acceptance or getting rejection from the business users, the product owners, and then building on top of that. So the team continue with this until the product is actually finished. So we talk about what the actual details behind this are. It's all about the business vision, building towards that business vision and looking at subsets of priorities and building functionality that's designed to meet the needs of the end user and the stakeholder. So Agile is truly a methodology that's being adopted by lots of folks today. And tracking Agile projects becomes very, very important. So, you know, one of the things when we talk to a lot of our clients, they say, well, you know, Agile projects are just different. And if you think about it, Agile projects have objectives, they have a budget, they have resources, they have a schedule, they have deliverables, they have work products, they have collaboration needs. So why should we treat them any differently than any other project, right? A lot of times the Agile projects end up with the development teams that don't really want to manage them as projects. They just want to do the work. And that becomes a challenge for folks in the project management world. Because they always end up pushing back on using PPM tools. We're too agile for that. We don't need to measure that. We just need to do it. And it's kind of funny when you think about it, because they are product, they are projects, just like any other project that's out there. And you ask why. You know, why do people push back? And the answer is, we don't really know. Spicoli will tell you, he just wants his pizza, right? He's just really hungry. But it's a really good question, why developers push back on using project management tools. So one of the things we've seen as feedback is let the developers work in their environment. Let them work with their development tools, their agile tools, whatever they are, and have the project management community work in their own environment. You shouldn't force developers to work in a project management tool because they're never going to do it, and they frankly don't understand the whole framework of project management tools as it is. They see it as unnecessary overhead. They just want to build software. Any of this sound familiar? Nodding heads? Okay. So some misconceptions or assumptions about Agile projects, which are kind of interesting, they need to be managed differently than traditional waterfall projects. Any thoughts on that? Do they? They do? Okay. How different? What do you see?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely. The different iterations, right? And we may have 1, 3, 5, 10 iterations. We're not really sure how many iterations we're going to have until we get the thing built, right? Right. Yep. 2 week, absolutely, 2 week time boxes. A lot of people will say they don't need to be managed, they only need to be done, right? And that's hogwash, right? We all know that. It's anarchy. That's craziness, right? That's living in the development world, not in the management world. So, absolutely. And they don't require any PM tools, or they need different tools. They need developer-specific tools, or no tools at all. They don't want to really get into the world of project management tools, so they find that to be overly burdensome. Agile projects are all about creating the outputs, not managing the details of the project, a lot of times we've found. And that becomes the most important factor. So there's got to be a balance there between managing the information and doing the actual work. And it's interesting, if you go to the Software Engineering Institute's website, there's actually some studies out there that say that Agile projects fail as much or even more so than standard waterfall projects. So why shouldn't they be managed in a similar way? Now, obviously, we've got our spin-ups and we've got iterations. We're doing things a little bit differently. We still need to manage those. And the thinking is typically pretty different. And it needs to actually come back to the world of we're managing this as strategic projects. So we talk about the missing link, and this is not about a chimp in a zoo. It's more about how do we link the development community with the project management community. We would argue it's all about environments and connectivity. On one side of the house, you've got your development teams that are managing, they're doing the Agile projects. They have their development environment, they've got their developers, they've got their testers, they've got their coders, and they're really concerned with having a code repository, managing a developer collaboration environment, tracking sprints and backlogs, as well as managing storyboards. And they're doing those in different kind of tools. Does anybody have any tools they do this in today?
Jira.
Was it?
Jira.
Okay. Anyone else?
Version 1.
Visual Studio. Okay. Yep. Those are some of the most popular ones, Jira, Version 1, and Visual Studio. And that's where development teams are tracking and managing their code, their progress, or doing all the work there. On the other side of the fence, we've got our project management teams that have their project management needs. They're trying to do portfolio management. They're trying to do project management and detailed project scheduling. They're trying to manage resources and work and capacity around that. They're doing time tracking as well. And they also want to do resource and risk management as well as reporting. The challenge comes when you have to merge these two environments. Has anybody integrated that environment, your Jira version 1, with a project management system? No? Not so much. Any goals to do that? Is that a downstream? Yeah, okay. And TFS? You're working on it? Okay, yeah. Yeah, we usually find there's a wall between the different teams and the tools. They're using different tools, and it's very hard to bridge those. So we're finding a lot more organizations are having these things try to work together. They're actually creating bridges between the tools. We're doing a project now where we're linking Jira into Project Server. We're doing another one where we have TFS and Project Server. So really allowing the developers to track their information and level of detail, spin up their sprints, come up with their storyboards in their development suite, and push those over into Project Server, where the project manager can work on scheduling the work, move it into a schedule, and manage the details of that schedule. If you can come to that, you can have a really good connected world. But when we think... I'm sorry?
So, I mean, for this slide, it looks to me that we are saying that no, the project management competence is entirely different than what people do in agile development. When they are doing agile development, they are creating teams. When you have Scrum or Scrum, for example, development teams, they are taking care of the whole gamut of management. That management is different, of course.
Yeah, and I think we would argue that you still need to manage them. You still need to have a project manager on those projects managing them, because teams aren't necessarily trained to manage projects, no matter what kind of project they are. So they may do a good job of doing the work, but from an overall management perspective, they don't always do a good job of actually managing at a higher level, just the business needs, but hitting the time frame and the budget and the resource needs. That's really a project manager's job. Okay. Well, it's something we can certainly talk about after the session as well, if you'd like. Sure. Okay. So we talk about the differences between a structured and an unstructured management environment, developers versus managers. Everybody really has the same goal at the end of the day, is to deliver great software, right? Deliver a product that's usable to the end users. So when we talk about the different approaches to Agile PPM, there's really two we've seen out there. There's the connected approach and disconnected. The connected one is where you have two systems. You have your developer suite, and you have your PPM environment, and you have some kind of information alignment between the two. A disconnected environment, you still have the two environments, but you have the information is shared in a manual way. So it comes about in a different way, that collaboration. An alignment is absolutely possible in both scenarios. We find a lot of companies or a lot of organizations try to do everything in their PPM suite, and that's absolutely not the place to do it. We find a lot of places want to do it in Jira version 1 TFS. That's not the place to do it either. Really, a merging of these two environments is what it is, because any organization has dozens of projects going on. Agile projects are just a subset of the projects they have, and you have to roll those up. You still have to do portfolio management. You still have to do cost management. Still have to manage your resources. Those things are in common no matter what kind of project you have. So from a connected environment perspective, what we're talking about is PPM systems that are dynamically linked into your development suite, where you're taking information from one system, synchronizing it with the other. In our demonstration, we're going to show you a little bit of this, where you can go into a tool like TFS, create a work item, and synchronize it over into Microsoft Project, and then the PM can go and order that in the right way from a schedule perspective. You've also got work items and stories that are being captured in the development suite, where they belong. You're creating tasks in PPM, and then you're tracking the actual progress in your development suite where it's going to happen. You shouldn't ask the developers to go outside the tools that they know. And that's really one of the great moves Microsoft has made, is integrating those tools in with their environment. PMs, they order the work accordingly so they can plan and adjust and manage the information. And then resource utilization can be mapped as well. So I can go in and see what my people are working on across one or multiple efforts using tools like the Resource Center that we have in Project Server today, which is really what it's designed for. An example, so if we talk about a connected PPM environment with Agile, you've got your team leads on the top left. They're defining their user stories and their tasks, then they're submitting those stories in and actually through TFS or through other development suite into Project Server, and then they're getting those updates on remaining work and completed work through the TFS environment. Status updates and requests are generally synchronized. There's a synchronization engine between your two tools. And then down here in your project management environment, you update your enterprise project schedule, you review the project schedule, you review the progress to that project schedule, and then you update the progress and send that back into your TFS environment. It's all about synchronizing the two pieces of information, but it's one piece of information going back and forth. That's the key. You're going to have more detail about your user stories and your iterations in your dev suite, but you want to pull the high-level iterations into Project Server so that you can do the scheduling behind that. Some of the benefits of a connected environment, it's going to allow you to actually capture exactly where people will capture information about where people are going to be doing their work. It's going to provide both sides, the development suite and the project management community, with details required to plan effectively and do their work and track it in familiar tools. The other thing it does in Agile, as a gentleman up here mentioned, you don't want to overly burden teams with too much overhead. That's the goal of this, is to make it really simple. It doesn't overly burden your Agile teams away from their mission of building great software and great products. It gives the PMs insight into what's going on in the Agile work that's going on. And it helps with reporting. It's going to help you report on the relevant information in both environments. So what it does is it really requires two well-aligned systems. Whether you're in Jira version 1 or TFS, you have to sit down and determine how you're going to be tracking and managing the information, then work with Project Server and say, how do I want to pull information at what level of detail into that application? Disconnected, that's where we're using our PPM system to actually create our schedules, create our tasks, and actually we're going to update this information manually by sitting in team sessions and getting the updates from the team members. Our work items and stories still live in our development suite. That doesn't change at all. Our alignment occurs via pure process, so we're sitting down and we're capturing the information in meetings and through conversation. And each team is still working in an environment they're comfortable with. We just don't have any technology synchronization between the two tools. So you don't have any systems integration here. You don't have to worry about aligning one system with the other. It's a lot simpler approach to getting it done. So when we talk about it, it's the same mapping. It's just everything in the middle. There's no synchronization engine. Synchronization comes through collaboration. It comes through communication between the different team members and sponsors. An alignment between people through meetings and conversations and other information. Everybody still awake? How was lunch? Good? Yeah. Question? Let's go back there. Yep. In your development suite or in your...
In the project, I'll just give a higher level task. Sprint,
yep.
And then I'll use a burn down chart to show how many of the user stories get burned down.
Yes.
Because if they're self-organizing teams, they may push it out and push it into the next
Yeah, it is. I mean, you're tracking in Project Server, you're tracking it at iteration or iteration level, a sprint level, essentially. You're not getting to a lower level detail than that. You don't need to do that. Yeah. Good. So some of the benefits of disconnected, I think we went through this. So it allows people to capture work where they work. It provides both sides with the level of detail that they need to plan and deliver effectively. It doesn't overly burden the Agile teams. Very similar approach to what you saw before with the connected one. The disadvantage is there's more manual cross-activity. It takes time, it takes extra time and effort to capture that information, and there's always the opportunity for missed data. If I change something in one system, if I sit down and hand key it in the wrong way in the other system, I may have a challenge with that. So with that, I was actually going to walk you through a demonstration now of the two environments working together. Has anybody seen TFS and Project Server working together? You've seen a little bit of it? I know you have, Eli. Come on. He's the seed in the audience. That's cool. Thanks. What's that? Yeah, exactly. She's the most experienced one on our team. Right, Jose? All right. So there's two components, if anybody has seen Team Foundation Server, and this is a development suite that's used by Agile as well as Waterfall teams to do code capture, to track backlog, so it can support both Waterfall and Agile. Waterfall and Agile. There's two parts of TFS. There's TFS Visual Studio Ultimate, which includes connectivity into TFS, and TFS is really the developer collaboration suite. Just like you have Project Server and PWA, we have TFS Web Access. So that's how people are going to get to their information. So you'll see here, I'm actually in TFS. I'm in the web app. And what I can do here is a couple of things. I can go into activities. I can create user stories. I can create tasks. I can log bugs. And I can do other activities here, track issues or test cases as well. So this is what a typical developer or development team is going to work in. When we go in and we want to view our backlog, we can see what our product backlog is for a specific product. And you'll see we have a backlog here. We've got some user stories. I can log into a shopping site. I can add it to my shopping cart. I can log out of the shopping site. And I created a new updated story right before you all walked in, so about 20 minutes ago. What we can do is we can go to our Scrum board, and this is where we're going to start adding different components, or the developers are going to start adding different components for the UI dialogue, the user flow, the unit test, the back-end changes. This is where the stories are going to start to play out here. So instead of doing it on a whiteboard or doing it up on a literal Scrum board on the wall, you can start to do it electronically or take it from your Scrum board and put it in here. And then we have our work items. And behind any of our work items, we have lots of information. We can edit our work items. We can take these work items and assign them to different individuals that are on the team. And we can move them to different iterations we have. We can put them in the backlog, or we can move them to an actual iteration. So this is really how TFS works, through a series of backlogs, boards, and work items. So what we can do is actually go in and start to add different stories we have, and then synchronize those into Project Server, which is essentially what we're going to do. So we're going to let the developers live in this side of the house. They're going to live in this world. And then what we're going to do next is actually we're going to go over into Project Server, and you're going to see how that synchronization occurs, how we can reorder information and send it backwards the other way. And we can create new user stories. So let's create a new one, new test story 2. Oh, an error. I hate when that happens. Always happens in a demo, doesn't it? I can move it to one of my iterations, say in iteration 1, and then I can take a look at it on the board and start adding details to it. And this is where all the information is going to happen. So that's really on the Agile side. My developers are going to be working in this environment. They're also going to be working in Visual Studio. So when I'm in Visual Studio, I can go down, I can take a look at my information in Visual Studio, I can look at my work here as well, and then I can see any information I have about that, any suspended work, any available work items, any open queries I have, any code reviews. So this is really the development suite that's happening. Sorry, sniffles are coming back now. And you can see, as we add information into our work items, our new updated story, our new test story is here. And behind each of those, we're going to have lots of details behind them, right? I think a gentleman here mentioned, what level of detail are we tracking to? And what you're going to see when we go into Project Server, we're just taking the top-level story. The iteration. We're bringing the iteration over. We're not taking all the details behind that from the Scrum board. It doesn't make sense to bring those over. That's over-management. I'm going to right-click here. I can add tasks to this as well. And I can save that. And I can start to add different components to it. So that's in our TFS world what's happening. What happens is when we go and we're going to synchronize that over, we're going to go into Project Server now, and I'm going to show you how that information comes over and what it looks like. So to do that, I need to log back in. Scrum Master, as you mentioned. Okay. Now we're in our project management world. We're a PM. I want to take a look at what this looks like on our side. We're going to be able to open up Microsoft Project, and we'll also go to PWA to show you this. We're going to pick the same project that was coming over from TFS. And you'll see that what we're doing is it's actually bringing over those iterations at a story level. So we've got the new one we created, and then the different customer ones. Those are coming over with work assignments for the resources we've assigned to it. What we can do is we can take those. Come on. And we can move them. If I can highlight this. Come on, project. And we'll put them under iteration one. And because we're tracking these, let's go like this. We're going to indent a little bit. Like this, so they're going to be under iteration one. So it gives the project manager the flexibility to actually move those tasks. When you bring the synchronization over, it puts them at the top level of the schedule, and then it's up to the PM to order those in the right way. So you're giving the PM the opportunity to actually determine when the work is going to happen and where it's going to happen. It's not so structured as it's going to put it exactly where the system believes it should be. Same thing goes for any new tasks we add. Just cut this, we'll add this down here. And then what we can do is we can go and publish this plan back, save it, and then we can get updates from one environment and the other as well. So we can get our updates coming from TFS from the developers, and that's really the important thing. They're actually going to go into TFS web app, and they're going to update their progress from there. That's going to come back to the project manager, who is then going to be able to approve and accept and reject those. That's all going to sit in your queue, your approval queue. What's that? It depends how you want to set it up. Yeah. There's no easy answer for that. Yeah. So we go into PWA, and just like this is stock PWA, and we've got our projects, and we're getting our updates in. And you can see that we've got our project schedule, and as soon as we publish it back, it'll show up under the iterations. I don't think I published that. That's the problem. Let's check it out, save it and publish it. Give it a second here. Do the magic publish.
So when it comes back, it matches against the ID for each of the tasks.
Yes.
And when they put their status in, does it come back? Is there actually flow back in this?
It'll flow back into PWA, into the approvals area. That's how it goes. Yes.
What level of detail do they come over? Is it a task, work item?
So it's typically at a work item level. You're not tracking all the tasks here. You're actually just tracking the work item or the iteration sprint here. What's that?
Work items and iterations.
Yes, work items and iterations. Check it back in. And then when your developers are going in, they're actually updating the information. And then I can probably see if I have some approvals here. Yeah, so the approvals are actually going to flow through Project Server. That's the important thing. So the updates are actually going to come through the development suite through TFS, and it's going to tell you what the update is, who it's coming from, when it came in, what work item ID it's mapping to, and then the PM still gets to approve and accept those and roll those into the schedule as updates. So we're still using Project Server and Microsoft Project for what it's really good at, which is project scheduling, forecasting, capturing actuals. Those actuals, though, are being fed from TFS, from your developers. That's the really important thing. They never have to go into PWA. Yeah, well, developers are updating their actuals in TFS. In TFS, yeah. Yeah.
I was just wondering if your timesheets turned on, we would see those task updates in the
timesheet. If they're flowing back, we should see them in there. Yeah. Yeah. But what they're doing, they're updating them in TFS. So right. there's an interface to update it. It almost looks like an Excel spreadsheet. So that's where they're updating it. Yeah. Yeah. And then we go back to projects, and you know how this goes. We go into our project. We've got all of our tasks, and we've got our new iterations, then we've got our customer stories here, and then we're getting the updates. So it's really adds to what Project Server provides, but we're not forcing people into Project Server's world from a development perspective, which is important from an Agile perspective. So when we talk about, you know, how do you use each tool as it relates to Agile, aligning that to BPM, different parts of the tool can support it in different ways. You know, a product owner can create a wish list or a backlog. That's all happening in TFS. That's the really important thing. That is not happening in Project Server. They maintain it in TFS. The project is still in Project Server. It has a team site for collaboration information, and it's synchronizing the artifacts. So issues and risks are tracked at a project site level, but you can still track your development issues, which are over in TFS. During your sprint planning, the team is actually going to be pulling small chunks of the information. Again, that's TFS. TFS or what other, version one or Jira, whatever your tool is, exactly. Project Pro is really used to manage the schedule behind it all, the details behind it all. And for folks, if you want it, you can actually download a copy of this deck after the session. And then Project Server, you're storing information there. This is actually based on some best practices on working with some different clients. The team has a certain amount of time to do the work, the sprint, to complete the work. It's usually 2 to 4 weeks, but every day they meet. Developers are continuing to use TFS, but then it's updating Project Pro, importantly. So you can see the flow between the two tools here. And then a lot of times we find a lot of our clients end up using the project work sites in Project Server to track a lot of the collaboration information. Yes? Yeah, you as a project manager actually have to move them. So they're going to be in that iteration because the PM is the one choosing where it's going to go, where the work on it. There's probably a way to do it. We probably have to think through how that would be done. But yeah, I mean, the PM is the one who's really doing all the detailed planning on that and putting it in the right iteration. So if it doesn't get done, they're going to move it to another iteration. They're still responsible for the planning and management of the task, right? Yep. And you know, at the end of every sprint, the work is shippable. It's in hand. All of your artifacts, the code-based artifacts, are all in TFS. Yes, question? Well, what we're showing you is just kind of the out-of-the-box integration. You could have it work with other tools, certainly. We're doing an integration with Jira right now, and there's version 1 and Rational. It should just be a matter of integrating the two tools. You could certainly do it. Yeah. With sprints, you know, you're reviewing the information, sharing that information, storing a lot of stuff on the project site or on the site in TFS. TFS is for developers, project is for your project managers, and we're tracking the budget, schedules, deliverables in project and project server. So,
when you say you integrate with Rational, is that a development process or is that a configuration process?
It's most likely a development process.
So there's no out-of-the-box APIs, it's just tied one to the other.
There are APIs, but you'd still have to write code to have them talk. Yeah, exactly. It's like an example, we're working with a client now, they're doing Jira for all the requirements management and Agile. And then we're doing Project Server for PPM and resource management. And these things have to tie together. So we're building integration between the two tools. Yeah. So what I thought I'd do is actually walk you through a bit of a case study. So an organization we work with, a large financial services firm based out of New Jersey, the project was actually to implement Project Server to support Agile and Waterfall projects. And we contracted with them, and they came to us and said, you know what, we want to do this using Agile. And we thought, that's a little wacky. You know, most people that implement Project Server, they do it in a pretty traditional waterfall. You know, requirements, design, build, test, deploy. It's a COTS application. That's how you do it. They said, well, we want to use this as a test case. You know, we want to do it. We pushed back a little bit. We said, well, we're not really developing any code, so I don't know if it's a good idea. But they said, let's do it. So we thought that'd be a good idea. So actually the scope was to build a pilot for their top projects. They had a top 15 projects, do all the reporting and tracking so that they could add other projects later. So a typical Project Server deployment, but it was a little bit different in that they wanted us to do it Agile with a series of iterations behind it. So the team size, there were 5 people working on the team. There were 3 people internal, and I'm showing you the pictures of the people to show you it's real. 3 people from the client and 2 people from our team. The approach was disconnected. So the goal is to move to a connected environment where TFS and Project Server are working together, but initially it just wasn't in the cards. They wanted to get a pilot up and running as they were rolling out TFS and then pull these things together, which is how most organizations do it, frankly. The technology was Project Server, SharePoint, and it was also hosted in the cloud, which is kind of challenging as well. The schedule behind what we did, and you'll see we actually had a series of iterations. So we went and we had project management overlaying the whole project. We had a pilot implementation kickoff, and then we did a series of iterations. There were actually 4 iterations. Each one had rapid requirements analysis, 3 days, then some configuration. Then within that configuration, we were building reports and views, creating process flows, developing workflows. If you're familiar with EPTs, enterprise project types, we were building those out as well, configuring the different phases of those with the workflow, uploading their top projects, validating, and then getting a narrative in place, is starting to do a little bit of design. There are some misspellings here, I apologize for that. It went so fast that we couldn't spell check. That's great. Yeah, exactly. It's Agile, exactly. So the different iterations, then we came up with had the deliverables, had action items, and moved on to the next iteration. So it was interesting that we were actually deploying Project Server using an Agile-like methodology. The approach. So what we actually did is we ended up using Scrum Board and Storyboards. We established an iterative approach for the entire delivery. We incorporated the Agile concept, so we had a backlog of all the requests and the stories. We had Scrum calls, the stand-ups, 15-minute stand-ups, and we did a series of sprints, iterations behind that. The system walkthrough was performed at the end of each of the iterations to demonstrate to management what they were getting and what we had built to date and to get their feedback. So typically, if you go through a Project Server deployment, you don't see anything for a certain amount of time. This was a little different as they were seeing things over and over again through the whole life cycle of the project. So it was a different way to do it. It's definitely very interesting. And the iteration focus, we had 4 different focuses. The first iteration was all about initial configuration just designed to load their initial projects. They had committed to management. They wanted to actually have the ability to see what projects were out there, their top 10 projects. There were actually 15 of them in the top 10 list. Didn't make a lot of sense. But they wanted to see the top 10 projects in the system in a pretty short amount of time. Okay, we can do that. Did some minimal configuration to get the projects in there and get some basic configuration out there. The second iteration was actually doing configuration and then adding workflow. And we added workflow based on different project types. We had one for iterative, a waterfall, and then we had one for Agile. Then we started adding additional workflows and started building reports. So we had an iteration where we're building reports and doing workflows. And then we had to go and complete a lot of these reports. They had a lot of reporting requirements, finalize the workflows, do the training, and then go live. So it's a little different way to go about doing a Project Server deployment, but you can see we did iteration lessons learned, what worked, what didn't work, and what we'd like to do for the next iteration. So actually truly using an Agile methodology to roll out Project Server.
Were the projects in progress? Did they have actions against them? So these were actually ongoing?
They were live projects. We had to roll them in there, and then we had to roll. They weren't doing time tracking until after the project, until after we did training. So the PM still had to keep the schedules up to date, but we had to give them some rapid training on actually just publishing into Project Server versus saving it locally. Fortunately, they were a project shop as it was, so that was a good thing. Some of the outcomes of doing it in this way. Project was on time, which was great. We went way beyond scope because, you know, it was just iteration. So there was a lot more scope, which unusually we were a little under budget. But the trade-off with that is we didn't do a heck of a lot of documentation. And that's typical with a lot of Agile projects. You're not building a big requirements document, right? You're building. So it was interesting that we also started incorporating our lessons learned for future phases. So we're actually re-engaging with the client now into the next phase of this, and we're going to do it via Agile as well. I think we all learned something from it all. But they didn't get a lot of documentation, and that was the trade-off when we started. We said, we can do traditional waterfall. You're going to get a standard deployment with documentation, but if we go this Agile route, you're probably not going to get much of that, right? They got training guides. They got a little bit of design documentation, but that was pretty much it. But that's what they wanted. So. And so the solution that was actually put in place is really interesting. So when you go in and they actually request a new project, they have a vision for a new project, and there's a filter. So they'll actually go in and pick an enterprise project type to go either waterfall or agile, one way or the other. And based on that, there's different life cycles, different workflows, and different methodologies behind each. But the vision, no matter what kind of project they have, there's always a project vision behind it. It's how they get there and how it gets implemented is really the difference. Users get trained on what the good and bad are. They choose the EPT based on the type of project they're doing. And the project detail pages are used to actually collect information throughout the whole project. So whether it's a waterfall or whether it's an agile project, they're still using the core components of Project Server to do the request, the initiation, the high-level planning and forecasting, but all the development work and the updates are still in TFS. That's the really important thing. So from an agile perspective, because we're talking about agile today, their life cycle looked exactly like this, where they had some objectives for an agile project, they have a planning gate, they collect a lot of information on the project, they develop the sprint that they're going to be implementing, there's a gate around that, and then they do a product release, they have gates, and they had Scrum closure. So that's the overall life cycle behind their agile. And then one of the interesting things we also did is develop different workflows for both agile as well as waterfall. And these are, they come, it's a visualization of a workflow that you can build into Project Server. 2013 does a great job of this as well now. So you can see, actually, we get in and we look at our workflow. We have a new project vision, and we have a gate. It gets accepted or rejected. So we're using the core tools that are built into Project Server to collect the information about the projects, to route them for approvals, and then once it actually becomes an approved project, then it spins off. Work is done in TFS. Work is managed in project and Project Server. That's really how it was done, and that's the best practice for doing it. Lessons learned. Always do walkthroughs. We found that whenever you're building an application or you're configuring an application, you want to focus really heavily on the user experience. That's really important in any Agile project, specifically if you're trying to manage a PPM project. Focus on what the end users are going to see and how they're going to interact with the system. And plan for several hours. We had multiple sessions. What we found is a lot of people have never used a PPM system. They're not familiar with it. They don't know it. So the first time you put it in front of them, they may not be expecting it. So the earlier you can get the system in front of them, and that's one of the things we really learned about this, the earlier you can get it in front of them, the better feedback you're going to get. Because a lot of times they don't know what they don't know. Getting sign-off early as you go on what you're building and the different components and the different iterations. You want to also define acceptance criteria behind each and every requirement that you're building to. So what does done mean, right? How is this being accepted? Are we building a project center view? Are we building reports? Are we building workflows? Are we building dashboards? What are those things, and what is considered acceptable? And we had to do multiple iterations, and that's why we ended up exceeding our scope with this project, is because they didn't know what they didn't know. And once they started to see it, then it came out. Well, you got to do this different, and it just kept spinning. So we had the full four iterations. And we also learned, and this is really a lesson learned from the project, is there's still stakeholders, and the Agile stakeholders a lot of times still have waterfall expectations on how work is getting done. I see some nodding heads in the room here. And how the work needs to be managed. So even though they're all in on Agile, a lot of times their head is still thinking waterfall, right? So you have to manage that expectation and really understand what it means to you and your project as you're rolling out the application. So some best practices. We've collected these with a couple of clients we've worked with. Trying to do everything in Project Server is a really difficult thing to do. If you're trying to really implement Agile, Make sure you have a development suite and make sure you have a project management suite and understand the differences. What goes in each system is different information, but it's very related to one another. So talk about the level of detail or granularity. Do I have my iterations and user stories coming over? Do I actually want the task or the work items there? Where do I want to track at what level of detail to make Agile work for the organization? Focus on the two environment approach. We talked about dev, a development suite, as well as a project management suite. You know, if you go in and you customize Project Server to do lots of Agile stuff, we've seen a lot of clients try to do this and build Scrum boards and build backlogs and build it all into to Project Server, it may not work right because you'll find a lot of your developers will never see PWA. They'll never see Project Server. So you want to think about using tools like TFS and integrating them in to solve that business problem. You could certainly go that route, and Project Server can handle a lot of things, but a best practice is to keep, you know, really each piece of functionality where it belongs in the right tool. Yes, in this case they were. Yep. So the question was the daily metrics. The daily metrics were all in TFS, exactly. And the Scrum Master and the PM were the same person in this case on this project. Yep. And consider deploying PPM and your development suite in alignment with one another. It's really, really important. The level of detail and granularity and what you want to track, it can reduce a lot of your rework later if you do it right the first time. Just like if you're just doing a Project Server deployment, do it right the first time. The same thing goes for the development suite. So what we wanted to do is give you a run through on some possibilities with Agile, with PPM, give you a case study, give you a little bit of a demonstration on what's possible using development suite tools along with Project Server. Just take some questions now.
Can you go over how exactly does the integration work? I mean, like in your scenario, when the two systems are connected to each other, are they talking through the project IDs? Is that how you are getting the iterations from in a connected environment?
Okay.
That's like part one of my question. And the other part is, when we link the two systems together, is there any particular caveat that has to be followed? Like the resource name should be exactly the same as in AD so that it talks to each other properly?
Yes. Well, definitely on the resource names, they have to be a one-to-one match. So the resource names have to be in the enterprise resource pool and Project Server. They have to be the same names in TFS. And typically it's fed from AD, so you're in good shape if you've done that. And then the first question again was, the planning behind it? Right. So when you actually, when you spin up a project in TFS, you're actually going to synchronize. There's a synchronization engine. So you push synchronize, and it takes the information and sends it through a back-end synchronization into Project Server. And it's going to either create or update that project that's already in Project Server. So it does, the project IDs are matching, essentially, and the names are matching as well.
And is that something that needs to be
ported, or is that out of the box? That's, Microsoft has built code that actually links the two. So it's actually a download that can be implemented between the two tools.
And if you have a particular enterprise project type, is it possible that particular EBT can follow in both waterfall and Agile, or you have to create a new waterfall?
So if I have a project that picks...
Like an EBT specifically, will it only follow Agile, and you have to create a new one? If you want, it's like one particular department or one particular project template.
Is it the same project?
No, it
two different projects? It would be two EPTs, essentially. Yeah.
Would it be two EPTs because the structure is different?
The structure of each project is different. One is Agile, one's Waterfall. Yeah. Yes?
So I see the task and the actual effort as being synchronized between the two systems. But what about the resource forecast? Is that synchronized between the resources?
Yeah, so you actually do the resource assignments in TFS. Yeah.
What about the resource center?
That's in Project Server.
Okay.
Yeah, so you're pulling that over, you're getting the updates, and then you go into the resource center, and you're going to be able to see what their work and capacity is there. What's that? Yeah, we probably should have gone into that, so it's a good tip. Back here. Into Project Server? It would be challenging. You'd probably have to plan out integration with both tools into Project Server. So it's best to have one tool, but if you have two tools, you'd have to build, I mean, you could use the TFS connector for that one, but then you'd probably need to build something that would synchronize it. Right. Sure, absolutely. Mm-hmm. One more time on the question. Sorry. Yes, this workflow.
The workflow for a project plan, if you've got three iterations in your project plan, where is the looping for the iterations?
It's a good question.
One workflow for all iterations.
It's one workflow for all, so there should be iterations in there. I may have shown the wrong image. It's a good question.
Where would you have that for best practice?
Well, it's going to be in your schedule, definitely. It would be somewhere in the build phase.
But wouldn't you drop into your design, develop, test? I mean, you're going to have your iteration planning,
mm-hmm.
but that's typically rolled into the iterations. The
yeah, it would have iterations within it.
You have, like, multiple iterations
yep.
around that, those two, or, you know, from mm-hmm. start to planning through test.
Yep. Yeah, exactly. You could have a waterfall or a sprint, exactly. I'm just not showing the loop here. I actually put the waterfall one up. So, yeah.
How do you handle baselines?
How do you handle baselines? Just like with any other project. You would baseline the schedule once you've agreed on the scope and schedule. And
so that's what I'm wondering. At what point
mm-hmm.
an agile project
oh. That's a really good question. I mean, does anybody have any experience with that? Let me ask. Go ahead. Right.
So I just put those for future planning and
mm-hmm.
baseline those when I have
to yeah, when you have the details. So you could baseline part of the schedule. And then as you're getting more of the details on the actual work items within there, you could baseline just those. So you may want to baseline the main tasks that you already know of and then baseline on an ongoing basis. Or you can add those to an existing baseline, which is probably the best way to do it. Yes? We're building it. There's no, we don't know of an add-in right now. So. Okay. It's going to be a two-way integration. Yeah, all the time is going to be captured. In their case, they want to capture all their time in Project Server. Every client's a little bit different. All the time goes into Project Server, but they want that synchronized into Jira. So, the work items and the requirements and the backlog, everything is in Jira, but the time has to be tracked because of their billing and the way they get audited. It has to be tracked in Project Server. So they're doing it a little bit differently than what I showed you today. So they're going to be tracking all their work in Project Server.
One question. So if you bring in, say, iteration 1, 2, and 3 into project and you update your project based on that, if you want to add a new iteration, do you always have to add it at the TFS site? It's only going to sync. It's not going to create a new iteration at TFS.
It can go both ways. So typically in Waterfall, you're actually building the schedule and project and sending it over into TFS. In Agile, you're doing most of your work in TFS and sending it over to Project Server. So the synchronization is two-way. I can go both ways with it. Just generally in an Agile environment, what we've seen is the work items are all going to be initiated in TFS and sent over. We're not going to see a lot of that creation on the Project Server side. But a lot of clients we have, they actually do the creation in Project Server and send it over. So, and it's going to create those in TFS.
Since Jira is open source, are you going to release that as open source?
What, the code? I don't know. You can talk to the company president, he'll tell you. If anybody's interested in that, we can definitely put you on a list. And if we do build something that's reusable like that, we're happy to share it. So, absolutely. But hopefully this was interesting. Wanted to cover some topics that we think are of interest to a lot of folks. And we appreciate your time. So if you have any questions, we'll be here. Oh, one more. Yes.
Where is that?
Kyle, they're posted? Where are they? They will be, I think. I think they're up. They'll be up there. And if you want them before, then I can send you a copy if you just leave me. Thanks. It's cool. It's cool. I understand, you know. Anyway, cool. Well, we appreciate your time. And looks like we're finishing a little early, so you have a little extra time. So thanks for coming.